when the morning stars, in reference to angels, sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. And so when God was creating the world, the angels, or the sons of God, the morning stars, sang in joy as they saw God unfold the world before them. They were created spiritual beings without human bodies, although they can assume a human body if God so deems. They can appear as man. In fact, the author of Hebrews tells us that sometimes, perhaps, we entertain angels and we're not even aware of it. Okay? Number two. So first thing, they're created beings. We don't know when they were created, but they were created before the foundation of the world. So they could have been created right after. I don't know when. Okay? We don't know when. Number two. There are a lot of angels. A lot of them. Hebrews 12:22 says that there are thousands upon thousands. Now, they didn't have numbers. They didn't have like a quadrillion, billion. They didn't have that kind of number way back when the Bible was being written. So that's God's way of telling us there are a lot of angels. There are never more angels, and there's never less angels. So when God created the angels, he created all necessary to accomplish in this world. Okay? There's a lot of them. Probably more. Well, I'm not going to say because the Bible doesn't tell us, okay? So I don't know how many there are. Just think big, okay? Number three. Some of those angels created by God to fulfill his purposes, to be messengers, to be ministers, to be magnifiers, rebelled in heaven before the creation of the world. We call those angels fallen angels. They were led by one of the angels that we have a name for. What is that name of that angel who fell before God and took a third of all the angels with him? Who was it? Lucifer, Satan, the devil. Okay? There's two other angels. Does anybody know the name of the other two angels mentioned in the Bible? What? Gabriel is one of them, and Michael. So we have three names of angels in the Bible. Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. Those are the three things I want you to know. Okay? They were created. There's a whole bunch of them, and half, a third of them, what? So they are God's messengers. So, what message did they bring to us that we're fully aware of today? We're going to read the Christmas story, and we're going to see from the bits and pieces that we read today that they brought us a message of promise, a message of hope, a message of joy, a message of warning, a message of comfort, a message of strength, a message of courage, a message of instruction, a message of good news, a message of blessing, a message of judgment, and a message of praise. And you're thinking, that many points? Boy, this sermon's going to last forever, isn't it? No, we're just going to go over it briefly. Okay, and so we're going to go through the Christmas story this morning chronologically, reading the text that God has given us of the message that the angels brought us. So turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Story, these passages of Scripture are very, very familiar to us. But we're going to reread them today, emphasizing the message that the angels brought, fulfilling the purposes of God to glorify him and his Son, Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren. And both were advanced in years. So they were some pretty old folks, okay? Beyond childbearing years. Now, while he was serving as a priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. And I'm tempted to talk about the appearance of the angels, but I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to bite, okay? But he was fearful when he saw the angel. Verse 13. Now here's the message that the angel brings because God told him to. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." So what is the message that God, through an angel, brings to Zechariah? That your prayers, Zechariah and Elizabeth, have been answered. They've been heard by God in heaven. Your prayers for a child have been heard, and they have been answered. The angels are privy to the information that God, the Godhead, the triune God, has had since the foundation of the world. And he's relaying to Zechariah, your prayers have been answered. Angels are trustworthy. They're faithful. The angels brought also a message of promise to Elizabeth. You will bear a son. Elizabeth, you will be the mom. And Zechariah, you will be the dad. Angels have that kind of information, and they deliver it faithfully to Zechariah. What else? We'll continue reading, verse 14. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of their fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. The angels delivered, at the bequest of God in heaven, a message of joy, a message of gladness, and a message of hope to Zechariah and Elizabeth, along with a message of instruction, telling them how to raise their son and what they must and must not do. Angels are not robots. They're not some, just mechanical creature that goes there and does it. They interact to the question of Zechariah. They're intelligent beings. They know what is about to transpire. They are fully aware. They are made aware of the plans of God for redeeming the world. And they've been aware of it for a long, long time before the creation of the world when they were created. What else? Well, let's continue reading. Luke 1:18. And Zechariah said to the angel, see how he's relating to the angel, and the angel will respond. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel," one of the names that were given in the New Testament. "I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to you to speak to you and to bring you this good news." Not the good news of the gospel, the evangelion, that Jesus Christ died, rose again, and living in heaven. Not that good news, but the good news that they were going to have a son. Verse 20, "And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words," which weren't his words, they were God's words, because Gabriel was standing before, with the authority of God, was standing before God and told by God to relay these words to Zechariah. Verse 21, "Well, the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision, an angel, in the temple. And he kept making signs to them, and he remained mute. And when the time of his service was ended, he went to his home." So angels, Gabriel, was standing in the presence of God with the authority of God, sent by God, deliver this message to Zechariah, the specific message and the instructions, and he had the authority to pronounce judgment on Zechariah because Zechariah refused to believe the angel. In effect, he was refusing to believe whom? God. And God had told Gabriel, when he refuses to believe you, and he will refuse to believe you because God knows all things, he says, you can give this word of judgment to Zechariah that he will not be able to talk until the child is born. So the angels know the consequence of disobeying or not believing in God. What else? Well, we're going to have to go to another passage now. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. So we're still in Luke chapter 1, but we're going to go down a few verses to 26. Okay, we're not now going from Zechariah and Elizabeth. We're going to go to Mary. Chronologically, we're looking through the birth account of Jesus Christ. Verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, same angel, was sent from whom? From God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. So where was Gabriel before he was sent to Nazareth? Where was he? Where do we know from the text where he was? Standing before the presence of God, right? That's where he said he was. And so after he visited Zechariah, where did he go? He went back to heaven to stand before the presence of God and receive another message from God. And God says, it's time for you to go. And so he goes to Nazareth. Verse 27, to a virgin betrothed to a man who was named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, what? Do not be afraid. So angels seem to cause quite a commotion when they're seen by man. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And so, Gabriel gives her a message of grace, gives her a blessing from God. It's a message of grace, it's a message of blessing. He knows what favor, he knows what finds favor in the presence of God. And God relates to her, Mary is a person that I am pleased with. Verse 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. The angels are saying this to Mary. The angel Gabriel. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. Look what the information that God has entrusted to the angel to relate to Mary. Angels are faithful. They accomplish the will of God by bringing glory to the Father. In this case, it's the birth of his son, Jesus Christ. Verse 33, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So angels have a vision of what's going to happen in the future as well, as related to them by God. They're not all-knowing. They're not omnipresent. They're not all-powerful. That is reserved to God and God alone. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered her. The angel knows what's going on. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Now, how does the angel know about this person, the Holy Spirit? He's been living before the presence of God in heaven. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth is in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. So angels have observed throughout the course of history, as they've observed God interact with his people, that nothing, absolutely nothing, is impossible with God. And that's one of the reasons they magnify or they worship God continually in heaven, because God's purposes are always accomplished. Not one of God's plans is ever thwarted. The angels are fully aware of that. Nothing is too big for God, not even a virgin becoming pregnant. And Mary said, behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Notice Mary's response is different from Zechariah. Zechariah, when the angel appeared, disbelieved God. Mary, what? Humbly accepts God and His word as delivered to her by an angel. But also, look at another message that the angels bring. A word of prophecy and a word of praise. She will have a son. She will call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And he will be given the Father, the throne of his father David, and reign in the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom, this son born of Mary, there will be no end. What other words, what other messages do the angels have? Well, go with me to Matthew now. Okay, we're leaving Luke. We're going to go back to Luke, but we're going to go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. So who knows, who have angels spoken to so far? Zechariah and Mary. But they'll speak to another person here in the event surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ. Matthew 1, verse 18. You should be there by now. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit, just as the angel said. Verse 19, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly because he realizes the child isn't hers. It isn't his. It's hers by the Holy Spirit, but it's not his. Verse 20, but as he considered these things, divorcing her, putting her away, behold, who appears? An angel. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, this time in a dream. I'm not sure why in a dream this time. Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. So there's a message there, a command from the angel that Joseph obeys. But there's also a message of strength to Joseph. A message of courage to Joseph in the face of uncertainty, the pregnancy of his wife by someone other than himself. But that's not the only message that the angel gives Joseph. Notice the messages brought to the shepherds in the most familiar of all passages, and so we're going to go back to Luke chapter 2 this time. It's a message of glory, it's a message of praise, it's a message of good news, of hope, of instruction, of worship, of praise. And so Luke chapter 2, and this is the most familiar of all the Christmas accounts, Luke chapter 2. And I'm going to read the entire account, 21 verses. So follow along with me, please. And I've been tempted before to project these words on the screen so you could follow along, but I want you to be in your Bibles. I want you to be familiar with your Bibles. I want you to be opening them as your pastor. Verse 1, chapter 2 of Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is Bethlehem, because he was the house of lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. All that information we're fully aware of by now. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And, verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with great fear. Notice the fear again. Notice that the angels just don't stand there. They bring a message. They speak.
Verse 10, and the angel said to them, who? The shepherds. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. We seem to forget that all this information that we have regarding the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ was given by angels. God's messengers sent by God to deliver this wonderful news that a Savior has been born. Verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, I don't know if all the angels were there, but the sky lit up with a bunch of angels. And they all get together and they say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. All of them bearing the message that God gave them to say to these shepherds. Verse 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, where do the angels return? Heaven, the presence of God. They go back there. They don't dilly-dally, you know. They don't stop by McDonald's on the way up. They go straight back to heaven, the presence of God, to do what God has called them to do, worship him. We'll talk more about that next week. Let us go. And so when the angels went away from them into heaven, these shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that the Lord has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. Who told them? The angel. They brought the message. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard as it had been told to them. And who told them? The angel. Faithful account of what God had revealed to them in heaven to say to the angels. It all happened just as they said. Because it wasn't their message. It was God's message given to them. They faithfully related. Verse 21. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus. The name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So angels have an integral part of relaying to us the message of Christmas, the story of Christ's birth. But that's not the only time that angels appear in the story of Christ's birth. Go with me back to Matthew. Okay, two more passages, and then we're going to wrap it up. Matthew chapter 2. And if you're familiar enough with the Christmas story, you know what angels appear and who they appear to. Verse 7 of Matthew chapter 2. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. Remember the wise men who come from the east following the star. It stops, and so they go speak to the king, Herod. Verse 8. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for this child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. Cough, cough. You know, he doesn't want to worship them. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense and myrrh, and being warned in a dream, how did Gabriel appear to Joseph? In a dream, most likely, the text doesn't tell us for sure, but in the context of Matthew, angels appeared in a dream. They are warned not to return to Herod. They departed to their own country by another way. And so an angel brings a message of warning to the wise men so they are not killed by Herod and so that the baby, Jesus, is not, what? Destroyed by Herod. A word of warning, a word of protection regarding this newborn child. Much the same way they weren't sent by God with a message, much the same way they were sent by God, angels, to protect Jesus, an angel also appears to Joseph to protect this newborn child. Matthew 2, verse 13. Now when they had departed, the wise men, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. So Joseph, once again, gets this dream. Probably Gabriel, once again. The angel says this, rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Out of Egypt I have called my son. So an angel is sent by God to protect this newborn child, Jesus Christ. And Joseph obeys the angel and takes Jesus to Egypt, fulfilling, once again, prophecy. Last reference, Matthew chapter 2, verse 19 to 23. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream again, saying, rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child, his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. But being warned in a dream, probably once again by an angel, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in the city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. And so once again, the angels bring a message to Joseph regarding the life of this precious little boy. All these are messages from God above via angel to the world regarding the birth of his Savior, Jesus Christ. Messages, like I said, of hope, of joy, of warning, of comfort, of strength, of praise, of blessing, of grace, of judgment, of worship. Well, let me tell you something, folks. We are not angels. Did you know that? I know I used to think that of one of my children when they were very, very young. I don't think that anymore. We are not angels. You know, we've heard this. Heaven must be missing an angel, right? And so that's why God takes some of his children to it. That is not true either. I know what people are saying, but we don't turn into angels. We have not been created angels. We will never become angels. Angels have been assigned a specific task in regards to the God of glory. You will never find in the Bible angels tasked with sharing the message of the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, there were angels at the tomb when Jesus rose from the dead, and the ladies were there, and they asked him, where are you? Who are you looking for? He's not here. He has risen. They did, they said that to the ladies who were there. But they were never tasked with the message of taking the gospel to all the world. Although the angels are extremely powerful, they're extremely intelligent, and they are moral creatures by the fact that some of them fell, there is something that the angels just don't get. There's something they're not quite fully aware of. And that's the song that we sing about redemption, about forgiveness of sins. Angels have never been redeemed. The fallen angels are still fallen angels. They will never be recovered. They will always be fallen before God. Now, angels get pretty excited when a human being repents, when he confesses Jesus Christ as Lord. In fact, you know what they do when they hear that God has redeemed one more of his children? Luke 15:10 says this, just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God when one sinner repents. So if a sinner repents today, guess what's going on in heaven? An angel party. Whee! Pop, you know, I don't know, confetti, I don't know what's going on, but they're praising God, I know that. But angels have not been commissioned by God to take the message of the gospel because they do not understand it. They don't understand the nature, the true nature of saving faith, of repentance, of redemption. They would love to know it. In fact, 1 Peter says this, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glory. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you into the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Phrase that I want you to. Things into which angels long to look. They want to understand. They want to understand why the one they worship from the foundation of the world had to come and die for sinful man. They've seen all about grace in heaven. God is a God of grace. They know God is a God of grace, but they've never experienced salvific grace. They cannot sing redemption songs. Now, several world religions, older beginnings to visions that they have had from fallen angels. Did you know that? Angels who have come back to earth, fallen angels that have appeared to simple man, and these simple men have begun world religions because these angels misinterpreted or twisted the gospel. You know what those religions are? And you figure it out and you come to me and just later and I'll tell you what they are. But Paul warned. He warned the Galatian church. He says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached him, let him be accursed. Angels are not tasked with carrying out the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Who has that task of bearing the gospel message been assigned to? Us. Fallen creatures. God has given us the awesome responsibility and privilege of telling the world what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. Now, there is a reference in Revelation chapter 14, verse 6, just to be clear with you, of angels proclaiming the gospel. But my understanding of Revelation, this is after the church has been raptured. Believers are no longer here on earth, and the angels proclaim the gospel message because there are none of God's messengers here on earth. But in this present age, the age that you and I live in, Jesus has commissioned us, you and me, to be messengers of the gospel. He says in Acts chapter 1, he says, you will be my witnesses. Not angels. You might think, well, angels will do a lot better job. They're a lot more faithful. They're a lot more brave, a lot more courageous. No. God knows what he's doing. He's called us to be his messengers of the good news. God has called us to preach the gospel. And although we are not angels, and we will never be angels, we are God's creative beings that bring glory to him by faithfully proclaiming the message of hope, the message of joy, the message of strength, the message of courage, the message of warning, the message of grace, the message of praise, the message of glory to a world that needs to hear the gospel message. We have been tasked with that. Angels will not fulfill that task that we alone have been assigned. And in closing, the world has heard about the Christmas story from angels, but they will only hear about the Easter story when you and me. Let us be faithful, dear church. Some of you have taken names off that Christmas tree, and you are going to visit some children and their families over the next week. I pray that as you convey to them not only the message of Christmas, you will also convey to them the message of the cross. in response to the Holy Spirit using His Word, that they will respond in faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. Will you bow your heads with me, please? Precious Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the message of the cross. It sure is nice to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. But that's where it stops for very, very many people. The message of the angels brought it. That's good news. But it's not the full extent of the good news. Lord, help us as your sons and daughters, created in your image to bring glory to you, God, by sharing the gospel. Help us to be faithful. This I pray in Christ's name. Amen.